Now, as we continue with our sermons in the Epistle to the Hebrews, we come this evening to chapter 11, this great chapter of the Epistle. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 16. Hebrews chapter 11, the first 16 verses. And what we're going to look at especially this evening are the first three verses of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1 to verse 16, but especially concentrating on the first three verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Amen. May the Lord bless those great words to our hearts and minds. This evening in our sermons in Hebrews, we come to this great chapter 11 of the Epistle, to this whole gathering together of so many of the men and women of the Old Testament who exercised great faith in the Lord their God, and who entered into a great many acts of faith and a great many exploits of faith to the honor and the glory of their Savior. It's this whole issue of faith, of course, you remember, living by faith, that the Lord's Apostle has been dealing with in the closing verses of the last chapter. And so it's not surprising, in a sense, that he should now take up so many of those who walk by faith throughout their earthly life, and who, of course, are meant to serve as examples for any who would endeavor to live by faith as long as the Lord would leave us in this world of ours. Now, the just shall live by faith, you remember he has said in that verse 38 of the previous chapter. And now, having reminded those readers out of the Old Testament scriptures that basic fact, or that fundamental fact, of the gospel of God's salvation to their souls, now he is going to remind them further how Abel lived by faith, and how Enoch lived by faith, and how Noah lived by faith, how Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and a whole host that time didn't permit him to speak of, as he says later on, how these all lived by faith and walked by faith as the Lord had placed them to be his people in their present world. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. In verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God had translated him, and before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. And so right down into the chapter. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, and so on. Then you have the case of Isaac, Jacob. You have the case of Moses' parents and Moses himself. And then you read that by faith they passed through the Red Sea. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that perished in their day. So you see, the just shall live by faith, he said. And so now he brings all of those examples, all of those incidents of some of those people who have gone before, who lived by faith in their day, or at some particular point in their life, they entered into some great act of faith or exploit of faith under the grace of the Lord their God. Example, you remember, is one of the ways in which God's word teaches us how we ought to live. These things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. They are examples, says the word of God, for us. And so having given now, you see, the exhortation concerning how the justified are to live by faith, now he gives all of these examples of those who have gone before and who did live by faith. Out of those examples, then, all who read this chapter of God's word to their souls, each and every one of us, we are to draw from those examples and endeavor to live according to that principle and that basic fact and that fundamental fact of the gospel, that the justified do live by faith and must live by faith all the days of their life in this world. Now, that's not the whole story, of course. It's one thing to say that the justified shall live by faith, but what is faith? That is, what is the faith by which the justified are to live in such a way that they please God? As we live in this world, we are told the just live by faith. They are to live by faith because without faith it is impossible to please him. Therefore, what is the faith by which we live? And so before the Lord's apostle by the Holy Spirit of God goes on to give all of these examples of Abel and Enoch and Abraham and Noah and so on. So you have these three verses of introduction, you see, very, very important concerning faith itself and some of the things that we must ever appreciate and understand with regards to what this faith really is and what constitutes this faith. So bear with me then for this evening. It won't be full. And just as we go through the chapter over the weeks that lie ahead of us, then we'll draw in other aspects of the faith. But simply keeping to these three verses of introduction tonight, and for the sake of division then, we can say that in verse 1, we have a word of explanation regarding what faith is. And then in verse 2, we have a word of encouragement with regards to exercising that faith. And then in verse 3, we have a word of enlargement with regards to where we exercise that faith all the days of our life. A word of explanation with regards to what faith is. A word of encouragement with regards to exercising faith. A word of enlargement with regards to where we exercise that faith that pleases God. Now, it's the third of those, in fact, those points that I want us to begin with this evening. The word of enlargement, as we've called it, in the whole thing concerning where it is that we exercise this faith that we are called to live out and live by all the days of our life. You see, in that opening verse, it is an explanation that we have there. Now, faith, he says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? Well, he says this is what faith is. He's giving us an explanation. He's giving us a definition of the faith by which we are to live. Then in verse 2, as we'll see, it is a very real word of encouragement that he is giving to us with regards to exercising this faith, for by it, by that faith, the elders, those who went before, obtained a good report. They obtained a good report from God. Therefore, if living by this faith that he's speaking about is something that gives us a good report, approves us, in fact, before God, then it's a word of encouragement that we go on and live by that faith. However, in what do we exercise that faith, you see? So that we may receive a good report from God. And it's that, in fact, that he's speaking about in that verse 3. So then, where is it then that a man or a woman or a young person exercises that faith that is now being spoken about in the chapter? And in a word, my friend, it is in the Word of God itself. It is in these scriptures. It is what God has given to us. That is the object, the general object of that faith by which we walk and in which we exercise ourselves in the whole region of our faith. You see, when he says there in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that is not, as many seem to think, essentially a word that has to do with this world and the creating of this world. That is a word that has to do essentially with the giving of God's word and our receiving of God's word to our souls. As we'll see, it's got a lot to say with regards to God's creation and how we view God's creation. But in the first place, it has to do with the word of God that God has given to us, in which we exercise our faith day after day. You see, never ever speak of faith, never ever think of faith out with God's definitive statement concerning what faith is and where faith is to be found. And perhaps you know that. I trust you do. It's in Romans chapter 10. And where Paul is speaking there, if you want to turn to that and read it into your eyes, as Paul is speaking there about the gospel and the one gospel that is received, you remember, through faith and through faith alone. Then in verse 12 of Romans chapter 10, he says, "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him." Now he says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now there's a question. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now you see, those are all valid questions, even if they're rhetorical, they're valid questions. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah said, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There is only one place, my friends, in which faith is exercised, and that is in the word of God. A person who believes unto the salvation of their souls is a person who believes what God has said in his word. Faith is believing. And the place in which we exercise our faith right at the beginning of the Christian life is in the word of God. And the place in which we exercise our faith all the days of our Christian life, if we're the Lord's people, is in the word of God itself. There is no other place in which our faith can be exercised aright. There is only one person in whom our faith can be exercised, in the Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all his ways towards us. And there is only one place in which our faith can be exercised aright, and that is in this word of Almighty God, the Bible, these scriptures. Now, you see what it is that the Lord's apostle is doing there in that verse 3 of the chapter. What he does is, my friends, very simply, he turns us to what you could call the very first page of the Bible. That's what he does, you see. He says, look, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Indeed, it's got to do with the creation, but it's got to do with our believing in faith what God says in His Word about the creation. Here is the place in which we exercise faith. I, says the apostle, and that faith is to be exercised from the very first page of this Bible that God has given to us. What does it say there? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How do we believe that? How do we know that, my friends? We know that and believe that by exercising faith in what it says there, that that indeed is the case. He starts at the beginning. You see, what's the use of giving the examples of Abel and Enoch and Noah in their life of faith if a person doesn't believe what the Bible says about Abel and Enoch and Noah and all the rest of them? If we're to follow examples in faith, then we must believe that what God has said about those people is valid and trustworthy and faithful to our hearts and to our souls. And so he goes right to the beginning. Right to the creation. And indeed, it is only through faith that a man or a woman or a young person will ever believe that God framed the worlds by the word of his power. You see, we're inclined to think today that the whole business of people believing by faith that God is the creator is some kind of a modern phenomenon. Of course it wasn't. Those old elders that he speaks about, those people that went before, they had to exercise faith in that as well, that it was God that had done that thing, and God had declared that he had done that thing. And that's why, you see, you can produce all the evidence, even what you would call valid scientific evidence can be weighed with all the experimentation before the heart and the mind of a man or a woman. That will not bring them to believe in and of itself that God is the creator of the world. And certainly will not bring them to believe that God is the Redeemer of all them that believe and the Savior of sinners in Jesus Christ, his beloved Son. And so very simply, you see, he takes them right to where the Word of God begins. And the Word of God begins with the creation account. And it's there that a person exercises this faith in the first place and goes on exercising faith from the first page of the Bible to the last page of the Bible concerning all of those things that God has said to us in his word. The only rule of faith and practice for the people of God until Christ shall come again. So you see then, very simply, faith begins where the Bible begins. And the Bible begins with the creating of the world. That's the first acts of faith. And it is a truth, a fact, as I say, which can only be received by faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Now, understand what he's saying there. The word in the Word of God in so many places is that Greek word, the Logos, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not the word that he's using here, but it's a Greek word pronounced rhema or rhemata, and it means utterance. It means something that is spoken. And it's very, very telling. He says, you see, we believe that God framed the worlds by the word that he spoke. God spoke and it was done. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the waters bring forth, and the waters brought forth. We believe that God uttered his word, and the worlds were created. And the same God who spoke the world into the beginning is the same God who speaks a man or a woman or a young person into salvation by the word that he has given to us, and takes us on in salvation by that self-same word. And again, you see, the only place that you learn and know all of these things, my friends, is in the written word of God. One thing, humanly speaking, of course, after the manner of men, one thing I can't understand is this: how anybody can deign to speak about God, Christ, heaven, hell, sin, all of these matters out with the word of God. The word of God is the only book that tells us about Christ. There are numerous books thereafter written about Christ. Numerous books thereafter written about him as the Savior of sinners. But the only thing that points us up to Christ as the Savior of sinners, the only thing that tells us about God as the Creator and Maker of the ends of the earth, is the Word of God. Now, how can we believe anything about God in isolation to the Word that God has given to us? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and it is the word of God in their day that those elders had to believe in order to receive that good report from their God in heaven above. And it is the selfsame thing that we have to receive and believe all our days. So all the blessings then, as I say, we'll come to much of that in the weeks that progress. But just for now, that it's a great word. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Isn't that you would almost say a logical statement? The creation didn't create the creation. You see, you can argue from now to doomsday, but ultimately you have to go back to some kind of a first cause, do you not? And so here he's saying, look, it's not the creation, it's the Creator. What is seen was made by one that is unseen. The things which do appear, he says, they didn't make themselves. They were created indeed at the hands of a Creator. And what a comfort that's meant to be to our hearts and our minds as we endeavor to walk by faith, if we're God's people and live by faith. You see, the fact that it is the Lord's earth that we move upon, and the Creator's air that we breathe. He has placed us here in his will and purpose, and for his own time span and all the rest of it. But it is his world, my friends, through which we live and in which we live. And as the old hymn writer says, in the light of all that, his hand is my perpetual guard. He guards me with his eye. As Peter tells those believers who were going through great hardship, he says, look, commit your souls into the hands of your faithful Creator. That's a lovely word. Doesn't mean, of course, that he wasn't their faithful Redeemer. Yes, but you see, it was their bodies that were suffering in this present world. And so he says, look, your Redeemer is your Creator. He made you. Commit yourselves into his hands. And the way that a person believes, of course, or comes to know that God is the Creator of all things, is through faith. And the only place that that faith is exercised in is this Word of God that tells us about all of those creating acts. So then when Paul says, walk by faith, well, where do you exercise the faith in? You exercise the faith in the Word of God. Paul knows that himself. He says, when he has to stand in defense at one point, he says, herein, in this Word of God, I do exercise myself daily in order that I might have a conscience void of offense before God and before men. How do I walk by faith? How do I walk in accordance with that which pleases God, without which it is impossible to please God? My friends, through hearing and believing what God has said in the one place in which God has spoken in this fashion to our souls. And so those elders who received a good report, they received the good report because they exercised faith, and the place where they exercised faith was in that Word of God, through which we understand that the worlds were framed by that Word of God. So then, as the Lord's apostle is going to go on to speak all about this faith, you see, then he's directing and will continuously direct us to where the faith is to be exercised right at the outset. Person's got a problem with God creating the world in his power. That person's got a problem. It's not a scientific problem. It's a faith problem. Because it's by faith that we understand these things. And surely, it's no harder by faith, you know, to believe that God created the world than he gave Christ, his only begotten Son, to be our Savior. And it is by faith that we believe all of the things that God has given to us. And so, as in the old creation, of course, so in the new. And that's where the whole application in the gospel must ever come to our hearts and our souls. This epistle, which speaks so much about Christ and all his glory, speaks about Christ and all his glory as the creator of the ends of the earth, the one in whom we exercise our faith as our Redeemer, is indeed the one in all the power of the Godhead who is also the creator of the ends of the world. You remember how in an earlier chapter that has been set out before us, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years fail not. Our God, my friends, you see, in Jesus Christ, his beloved Son, is both our Savior, our Creator, our Redeemer. He's all things. That's why the apostle can so easily move from the old creation of the world to the new creation of a man or a woman born again of the Spirit of God in the gospel of Christ the Savior. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The God who spoke and brought the worlds into being is the God who speaks and makes a man or a woman or a young person a new creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ the Lord, who will one day, by the grace of God, come into that new creation that God has provided forever and evermore. And the whole triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, engaged in all of that creating work, and Christ as our Creator and as our Redeemer, is a precious thing that the Word of God sets before us. Isn't that vivid language again, just to remind you of it? And remember that these words are being taken out of one of the Psalms, but addressed to Christ by the Holy Spirit. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand. And then he speaks about those heavens and the earth and all the creation. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years fail not. This earth that we live upon, my friends, we can live upon it with comfort, because it is the earth that our God and our Redeemer created. But at the same time, it's going to come to its end and its termination. They shall perish. They shall wax old. That's not a word of observation. That's a word of revelation. That's something that's telling us that God will bring this world, his creating, to an end at his own appointed hour. But on the contrary, our Lord Jesus Christ, God our God, perishes not, remains not. Thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But very simply, then, you see the drift as he starts off with this introduction. Indeed, there must be faith. the justified shall live by faith. All of these people live by faith. Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, these all live by faith. What is faith? Yes, but where is faith exercised? There is those elders, they, by the exercise of faith, obtained a good report from their God. But where did they exercise the faith? And so he goes, right, can't go back any further back, you see, in that sense, than to the very first opening statement of the Word of God, the place in which faith is exercised, back to the creation and back to the Creator who made all things and shows us that he has made all things in all his holy word. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The only way that we believe that, or know that, or have it assured to our souls, is by faith. By faith, we believe that God is our creator. But the only way that we can believe is because God has told us that he is our creator. And as we look at all that is said in the scriptures about God as our creator and our maker, and we believe that, then we are believing, as you might say, from the very first page, and then we go on through the word of God, believing everything that God has said for us, for all our life of faith here below. So faith's place of exercise is this word from the beginning of it, right to the end of it. Well then, what is faith? The just shall live by faith. But again, what is it? And so you have that word of explanation regarding what that faith is. Now, whether it's a full explanation or definition or not, it's adequate for the purpose. So just read that verse then, verse 1. Now faith, he says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, first of all, what are the things hoped for and what are the things not seen? Because it's in relation to those, you see, that faith comes to be exercised. And very simply, they are all of those things relating to the fullness and the finality of our soul's salvation forever and evermore. They are all the promises of God concerning what we shall be in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, forever and forevermore. They take in, they constitute the resurrection body with which God's people will be raised, a glorious body like unto his glorious body. It constitutes those mansions, if you like, that Christ has spoken about. It brings in eternity. It brings in heaven at last and the presence of Christ forevermore. Those are the things, you see, which in that sense are hoped for. Those are the things that are not yet seen. Now, that's what he's speaking about. He's speaking about all the promises of God in the gospel of his beloved Son. The things that we don't see as yet. The things that we are only able to hope for yet because we don't see them as yet. Those are the things that he's speaking about when he speaks about things hoped for and things not seen. Well, then, where does faith come in relation to the things hoped for and the things not seen? And so says the Apostle Paul, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you have a margin in your Bible, then you'll get some kind of an indication of just how wide a word or wide those words are that the Lord's apostle is using there in the Greek language in which they would have been written at the beginning. So let me give you four aspects of what he is saying there in those words. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Just to take that first, faith then gives substance to the things that we hope for and the things that we haven't seen as yet. We have a hope of eternal life. We have that resurrection hope that is set before us. We are looking for the blessed hope of the appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, those things are unseen, But there is that sensuousness, spiritually speaking, in which our faith gives substance to those things. You see, we don't see them. We only hope for them. But along comes faith, exercising what God has said in His Word concerning them. And suddenly those things, unseen and only hoped for, become absolutely substantial to our hearts and to our souls. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, you see. And He's speaking about that which really, in all of those spiritual senses and realms, gives substance to that which we hope for, our resurrection bodies, life eternal, our presence with Christ, all of those things which are not yet seen, all of those things which are only hopes that spring up in our heart, but faith substantiates those things and gives substance to those things. Or you can read it like this: faith is the ground, or faith is the foundation on which all our hopes stand, on which all our hopes grow up into the full building of all that God has promised for us, you see. Where do we get a foundation on which to stand so that our hopes do rise, as the old poet said, eternal, bright and clear? Well, he says faith is that foundation. Again, you look at God's Word. What does God say about those things? And what God says about those things, they are the foundation on which we plant our feet in order to have the hope of those things brought fully to our hearts and our souls. Or again, faith is the confident assurance of the things that are hoped for. And once more, you see that confidence. We can be confident in what God says because He is the God who cannot lie. Because God is faithful, my friends. No wonder the disciples came, as we so often have to come and say, Lord, increase our faith. Because it is faith that gives us an assurance in all the promises of God in which we hope, all of those things in which we can only have an eye of faith upon now. It is faith itself that gives the confident assurance that we shall enter into all that God has promised. And then finally, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. And I think that's a lovely expression out of the words that are drawn out of the words, the assertion of the things that are hoped for. By faith, you see, we believe what God has said, again, about heaven and eternal life, if you like. We believe by faith what Christ has said, in my Father's house are many mansions. We haven't yet entered into the mansion, but by faith we put out our hand and we take hold on the title deed, you see. And we can look at the title deed, and as surely as we have the title deed of that home in heaven at last, so we will come into that home in heaven at last. The justified shall live by faith. And by faith we go on in this world. What is faith? It's the substance of the things that we hope for. It's the evidence of the things that we don't see. Evidence means conviction. Same kind of expression, you see. We don't see these things as yet, but there is a conviction given to our hearts and our souls that we shall see them and possess them and enter into them. What is it that gives that conviction? It is faith. Faith believing what God has said concerning those things in His Word, the place in which faith alone is exercised concerning all things. From the creation right through to the consummation of the ages, everything that God has said in His Word, we take hold of by faith. And as we see those things by faith, they substantiate the promises, the things that we hope for, the things that we don't see as yet. So as I say, you can see how the disciples then, in so many occasions or in so many various ways, said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. My friends, the great thing that God's people need, all of us need, is faith. What is faith? Oh, you say it's going and storming the walls of Jericho. No, it is not. It is believing what God has said. It is believing that those people could storm the walls of Jericho because God said it. But faith is believing that you or I can live in this present world when the world would intimidate us and when all the materialism of the world would drag us away from the thoughts of heaven at last. That's faith. That's where faith comes to be exercised. When we have to stand against the onslaughts of unbelief and the world and the flesh and the devil, that's where faith is exercised. And where is it exercised? Exercised in what God says about all of those things, about the world, about the devil, about heaven to come, about Christ, about our soul's salvation. Faith gives substance to the things that we hope for. Faith is the evidence of the things, the conviction of the things that we don't see as yet. Faith is the ground, the foundation of all of those things, of the promises of God. Faith is the title deed, the earnest that we hold in our hands, that we shall enter into the glories of heaven at last. What kept those men going? What made Abel do what he did, or Enoch do what he did, or Noah do what he did? My friends, it was the promise. The promise that was held out before them. That promise, says the Lord's apostle there, which will come in all its fullness in the day of Christ. That's why when Abraham went through this world as a pilgrim, he looked for the city who had foundations, which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He was looking to heaven. That's why he lived the way he lived. Because he had his eye on the promise, on the hope. And it was his faith that substantiated that promise and gave the evidence, the conviction to his soul that he would come into that promise at last. Not simply a few acres of real estate in the land of Canaan, in heaven, my friends. That's why Moses could discard the treasures of Egypt and count it a thing to rejoice and to suffer the reproach of Christ, because he had an eye to the recompense of reward, an eye of faith, which believed, which gave substance to what God had said, as he believed what God had said in all his word. So faith's a very practical thing, and it's to operate for, as you see, with regards to the present, as we view all that is laid out before us in the future to the glory of God. You see, I believe this, my friends. Church of Christ, the believing people of God, are under a lot of onslaughts in our day. And one of the ways in which the world has intimidated the people of God is by telling them, oh, well, you're people that are all caught up with something that's going to happen at some point in an eternal day. Pie in the sky when you die and all of these kind of things. Let me say this. Amen. Amen. That doesn't intimidate me. My friend, when the world comes at me with things like that and says that I endeavor to live in the way that I live because there is the hope of heaven at last with Christ, I say amen. Because it's the proof of the fallen heart of man that it hates those things. Because the other side of those things is hell forevermore. You see. And God's people are to stand on what God says concerning all things. Heaven at last or hell at last. And if we have the hope of heaven at last and the promises of God concerning heaven at last, believing those things by faith gives substance to that. Provides the title deed for that hope, gives the assurance to that hope, gives the foundation for that hope. We believe what God has said concerning all his promises, and the more we believe, the more we enter into the enjoyment of them now. The more Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Moses, the more they believed, the more they enjoyed the promises of God in their lives. So you can see where the apostle is going. All of these indeed are examples. Examples in the life of faith. But what is faith? Indeed, these were the acts of faith, the exploits of faith that these people exercised before God. But whatever they did on the basis that God said, God spoke to them, and as God spoke to them, so they did those things. You see, faith is not some kind of a feeling. Lots of people think, oh, well, you see, if I feel okay, well, that's faith. No, that's not really the true order in an experience of grace, as somebody has well said years and years ago, is fact, faith, and then feeling, you see. Here are the facts of the case, the facts of heaven, the facts of hell, the facts of sin, the facts of Christ, the facts of your soul, the facts of creation. Here are the facts. And it was when a person exercises believing faith and receives the facts, then they have those feelings that the Word of God speaks about as joy unspeakable and full of glory. None of those feelings, my friends, true feelings of faith can come out with the facts, the believing of the facts, and the enjoying of the facts by faith. And by faith alone. And so when the Word of God shows us all that we are to believe concerning our Redeemer and our Savior and our souls, then it is faith. As we believe, it is faith that gives substance to that. Substance of the things hoped for. Evidence, conviction of the things not seen. We walk by faith here below, and by faith then we are able to substantiate all the hope of eternal life and all that which we will one day see before the Lord our God. Now, just to conclude then, that word of encouragement with regards to the exercise of this faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen for. By it the elders obtained a good report. The elders are very simply those that went before, the ones that he speaks about in chapter 1, about the fathers and so on, the believers of a bygone day. And he says, you see, by faith, by the exercise of faith, which of course in what God said and the way that he said it, in that way, those people that went before, they obtained a good report. That is, they were approved by God. God came, and God, in fact, was well pleased with them on account of their faith. And some of them, of course, Noah and Abraham and so on, they had explicit words of directives that were given from the Lord. Some of them, like Abel, it's clearly implied why he would have had a good report from God. Because, as we'll see, he obviously did what the Lord told him to do. Or some like Enoch. The whole general demeanor of that man's life was one who walked by faith before the Lord. But you see, whichever, as God spoke to those elders, to those people that have gone before during all of those years of the revealed history of God in his word concerning this world, as they did those things, then they had God's stamp of approval upon them because of their faith. Faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders, the ones who have gone before, obtained a good report. Isn't that a great word to take to our souls? Imagine that God condescends to make us, as you would say, well reported of. That God approves a man or a woman or a young person. And how does God approve anybody, my friends? He approves them when they believe what he has said. And as soon as a person believes what God has said, first of all in the issue of soul salvation in Christ the Lord, then God in his grace and his mercy puts his seal of approval upon that person. He is well pleased with that person who is well pleased with his son in whom he himself is well pleased. You see, my friends, when we're told then, without faith it is impossible to please God, that's the other side of it. By faith, we please God. Just imagine, here is a way in which sinful wretches like us can please our Creator and our Maker. How? By doing some massive thing? No, by believing. It's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And when we receive that, that is well pleasing in the eyes of God. Until we do that, my friend, if you're unconverted tonight, if you have not done that, if you have not exercised faith, you read what God said tonight in His Word, without it, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Doesn't matter what you do. You can go and storm the walls of Jericho if you like. Doesn't matter what you do. If what you're doing is not what God commands by faith, believing in His Son as your Savior, you can never, never, ever please God. But on the other hand, to believe what He has said concerning Christ and all things, this is defined a good report from our God in heaven above. And if you're a non-believer tonight, my friend, we don't need to mince words. Look, I was a non-believer. Anybody who's ever believed, we're unbelievers, skeptics, atheists, agnostics, whatever you want to call us. We were unbelievers, hard hearts, disobedient minds, sinful thoughts against the Lord our God. You're an unbeliever if you haven't believed in Christ to the salvation of your soul. And you must believe. And by the grace of God, put forth that hand of faith which makes you approved in the sight of Almighty God. Take Abraham and all the things that he did. Were all the things that he did the things that made him acceptable before God? Not at all. He believed God, says the Word of God, and that was accounted unto him for righteousness. The acts came out of the believing, my friends, but it was the believing that was the grounds of him being approved of God, accounted as righteous in the sight of Almighty God. And let me say this, those who do believe, we're to take it to our hearts. We begin in faith. You don't go on in any other way but in faith. And the stronger our faith is, the more comfortable our souls are as we walk through this world. And then can I say, if there's any perhaps who believe but have not yet believed, take it tonight. Now what I mean by that is, my friend, perhaps in your heart and in your mind, you really believe. And were you to stand before God this night, come on, examine yourself. If you were to stand before God this night, what would you plead before God? Would you say, God, take me and receive me and bless me because I have believed that Christ died for me? If that's in your heart, my friend, then go ahead and believe it, as it were, with your mouth and with your life and with your action. And go on to show that faith and walk by faith, because the justified walk by faith. And so, as I say, having given all of those words in the preceding chapter, and you remember, very severe words, warning words, words that would probably be thrown out in a lot of places today, too severe, too rigorous, I'll tell you this, my friend, you get your Christian life sorted out in the light of God's Word if ever you'll entertain a hope of heaven at last. And when Paul then goes on to encourage them, go on in the life of faith if you have the life of faith, for the just shall live by faith. Now he says, let me show you and remind you of some of those dear elders of a bygone day who walked by faith. But to begin with, what is it? What is the faith by which we walk? Well, it's the substance of the things that we hope for. It's the evidence of the things not seen. by it those elders obtained a good report. And if you want the place where they exercised that faith, then it was in the Word of God from the very beginning right to the end. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We believe what God has said concerning the creation, salvation, redemption, heaven, hell, Christ, sin, salvation. Whatever God has said as the God who cannot lie. The man or the woman or the young person approved of God is the man or the woman or the young person who believes those things. God has said them, and I believe them. And that's what God looks for in those who profess his salvation. May the Lord implant it in our hearts. And then as we go on into those things, to see indeed the demonstrations of that life of faith that the Holy Spirit has granted to us.